In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The feast of the Epiphany can be called the feast of the truth. It is on this feast that we commemorate the manifestation of truth to the Gentile world in the persons of the three kings. Now, the three wise men were chosen out of all others to be moved by this brilliant star that shone in the heavens to search out the truth. God singled out these three men. He plucked them from millions of others to receive this gift, not by any merit of their own, but owing only to God's love. And this is the joy of the Epiphany. This is what we celebrate today. It is the manifestation of that truth to the three wise men, to the Gentile world, and to us. Because without this manifestation of God's truth, there could be no hope of salvation. There would be no hope of salvation for us. And we would not be here this morning without this manifestation of truth to each of us. Like to the three wise men, the truth has been made manifest to each of us in some way. And each of us can point to the journey of following the star of truth as did the wise men. And by this same manifestation, this same star of truth, we, as the wise men, have been led to Christ. And we have been led to the one true holy sacrifice of the Mass, and that is why you are here this morning. It is by God's mercy, and this we celebrate today. This is our joy for today. This will be my first pontifical high mass that I am celebrating here at St. Gertrude's. And I am grateful for this opportunity and thank His Excellency Bishop Dolan and Father Chicada for this invitation. And it is a beautiful coincidence that I am celebrating on this Feast of the Truth. One of the principal duties of a bishop, as noted in the rite of consecration, is to preach the truth. And I can only do so because God has blessed us here with the grace to know this truth. And what a wondrous gift. And this we have received, like the wise men, gratuitously from God, without any merit of our own. And this we celebrate today. This is our joy of this morning. I would like to add a special note of gratitude and union with all of you here for our good pastors whom God has given to us and who have so faithfully led us here. They have fed to all of us the sacred doctrine of truth over the years, enabling us to have what we have today. You, as the parishioners of St. Gertrude, have been nourished with the sacred doctrine of truth by your good pastors, His Excellency Bishop Dolan, and likewise by Father Chicada. And I, as a seminarian, by the way, received this good doctrine of truth for many years from Bishop Dolan by his retreats year after year, and from Father Chicada in his seminary courses of liturgy and canon law. And so today, on this Feast of the Truth, I would like with all of you to thank God for giving us these good pastors and thank them for their fidelity, for sacrificing and preserving this truth. We all know that today the truth has been obscured by heresy and vice. in all the ages of the church, throughout its history, whenever truth or morals were assailed, the church, as a good mother, would proclaim loudly the truth. It would admonish, it would instruct, in order to protect her children from corruption. And we know today we have the widespread defection of the very supposed teachers of truth, who have not only failed to protect the sheep, but have brought the sheep to the slaughter by poisoning them with heresy and letting them waste away little by little in the mire of vice. And it would be, as we know, the Second Vatican Council that would spread this poison of heresy and, as you know, the corruption, the perversion of morality would be the infallible effect. It's something to note here. You know, probably, as well as anyone, that Novus Ordo Catholics as a whole only suspect that something has gone wrong in the church when they see perversion of morals, corruption of morals. For example, the moral decay in the Novus Ordo clergy that has been more recently surfacing. However, they give little regard to doctrinal error, even blatant heresy. And so when the so-called Pope Francis declares that there is no Catholic God, there is no outcry. Nobody cares. And I point this out to you, because this is a good example to understand better the import of truth in our lives. When you have a widespread corruption of morals, the corruption is always the result of a corruption of doctrine. Sin is always the result of a weakening or loss of faith. Moral falsehood comes after the perversion of truth. It is only after the truth has been perverted in the mind that man falls into sin, because man acts according to his ideas. If his ideas be good, they are true, and he will act according to that truth. If his ideas be bad, then his ideas are false, and he will act according to that falsehood. So it is holy religion that gives to man the highest ideas, the highest truth, so that he can live according to his ultimate end, according to truth. And this religious doctrine, this truth, dictates morality. And so if doctrine fails, so do morals. If the truth be obscured, men will quickly go astray. And that is what we are seeing today. The disaster that you see today is owing to the perversion of truth. It is not owing to politics. It is not owing to all of the legislation concerning the immorality we see today. No, it is owing to a perversion of truth. I give you but one example. If you recall the Roe versus Wade decision of the Supreme Court in 1973. This never would have been passed. The legalization of abortions would never have been passed if the Catholic bishops in the United States had stood up unanimously and declared this to be the murder of babies. But Vatican II had already done its work. And already very murky, were the outlines of Catholic doctrine becoming in the minds of the faithful, in the minds of the clergy. And so you see in a very short time, this corruption of morals following the Second Vatican Council, because of this blurring of doctrine, this blurring and obscuring of truth. Just the year prior, 1972, birth control was legalized for all citizens in the United States. And so these moral tragedies were but the result of a previous doctrinal tragedy in the Second Vatican Council. So it is not by a coincidence that we see the almost universal abandonment even of the natural law in morality come about so quickly. Throughout all of the ages, even among pagan peoples, there was upheld at least the basic tenets of the natural law respecting human life and marriage. And then, within a space of but 50 years, we have almost the universal abandonment of the natural law, particularly by abortion and sodomistic unions. And how could this happen so quickly? How can this happen so quickly after all of the ages in which the natural law was upheld in all societies, and now suddenly a complete perversion? It is owing to the obscuring and the perversion of truth. And so when we consider today all of the evils in the world, what must be considered to be the greatest evil is the perversion of truth. And what is greater yet is the perversion of truth by that very body whose office it is to teach, to instruct, and to guard the truth from corruption. And this perversion of truth must be continually pointed out and reminded to the flock in regard to the Second Vatican Council, the Novus Ordo. Likewise, the Society of St. Pius X, that is why you are here, because we must draw a clear line. The truth is pure and undefiled and in can no way be compromised. Like the three wise men, you have been chosen to receive this truth, this gift of the truth. And just as the three wise men received this gift at a time when the world was plunged in complete darkness, the darkness of paganism and error, likewise, all of you have received this gift at a time when the world has never witnessed such darkening and obscuring of truth. So for this very reason, it is for this very reason that all of you here, that all of us here, celebrate this feast with the greatest joy. For the greater the darkness, the more splendid shall be the manifestation of the light. And the manifestation of truth today shines with the greatest splendor. For it shines ever so brilliantly in the darkest of nights. And so what joy does it bring the traveler, the wayfarer, traveling in this blackest night today, to see his way lit by the radiant star of truth? And this is the joy that fills our souls, that we have this radiant star guiding us in this darkness, so that we escape the fate of so many souls who will become eternally lost in the darkness of heresy, error, and corruption. So in view of this tremendous gift that we have received, we thank God. We thank God for his boundless mercies. St. Paul instructs us, saying, "We give thanks to the merciful God who made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light." We have received this light. "Who delivered us from the power of darkness." We have been delivered from darkness. What a beautiful scene to imagine the three venerable kings approach the little child after so long a journey. Imagine these three men after a long, long journey from the east. Imagine how their hearts must have begun to pace so quickly in expectation as they approached this little child, whom they knew to be their God, the creator of the universe. They are approaching, and they are going to see for the first time with their eyes the God and the creator. And so with them, let us go to our knees this morning to adore the Christ child. And how do we show our gratitude for this gift of being called, for this manifestation, to see that star? Again, let us imitate the three kings. The gospel tells us that these three went back, after seeing the Christ child, they went back a new way to avoid Herod. Likewise, we must go back a new way to avoid sin. We must not return to our former way of life. We must go back to our lives a new way, and this is the way of repentance. Sinners in mortal sin must go back to the state of grace, and they must renounce habits and occasions of sin. Tepid souls must return to fervor. And fervent souls must attach themselves with ever greater intimacy to the Christ child by a strong interior life. St. Augustine explains, and I will end here, let us so proclaim him on this earth in this our mortal life, that we may not return the way we have come, nor retrace the footsteps of our former way of life. This is why he says that likewise the Magi did not return the way by which they had come. A change of way meant a change of life. We too, he continues, have been led to the adoration of Christ by the truth shining forth from the gospel like a star from the sky. We too have listened faithfully and have understood the prophecy honored in the Jewish race. We too, by acknowledging and praising the King, the priest, the Christ who died for us, have honored him, so to speak, in gold and incense and myrrh. It only remains for us to be heralds of his gospel and go a new way and not return the way we have come. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you.